The Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involves varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Know the difference. Now, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
The good, the bad, the ugly, and we'll take those in order on the show today. Welcome. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Got a busy hour. We're going to talk about tax planning after tax filing. So this is down the road when you look at your taxes and go, what the heck happened? No, you got a better idea because you have been tax planning. Ask Annex is on the way, and also a piece about volatility because it is back. That's all on the way. I'm Danny Clayton, Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dave Sponauer is the President and CEO of Annex Wealth Management.
Thank you, Danny. I know you are old enough to remember The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the movie, the Clint Eastwood movie back in, I think, the 1960s, and what a great actor Lee Van Cleef was. You remember that, his participation in that movie, but that was a long time ago. But I will tell you, there's a lot going on right now. And let's talk about some of the information that came out this week. And, you know, one of the things that we were looking forward to, because we're kind of that way, is this PCE indicator. People are going, what are you talking about? But it's an inflation indicator that the Fed likes to use.
It is. Yeah. The personal consumption expenditures indicator. It's kind of a mouthful, but the Fed, ever since 2012, they have been targeting this particular measure of inflation. A lot of people look at the consumer price index, which is another measure of inflation. That comes out earlier in the month, but the Fed looks at PCE mainly because it's fairly broad-based, and it oftentimes runs a little bit lower than the consumer price index because of some of the design.
Right.
Yeah, it makes it a little easier for them to try to hit their target. So it's kind of nice when they can pick their own target that way. And it came in, thankfully, mostly in line with expectations, which were already kind of elevated.
Earlier. So that was a sign of relief for them.
It really was. But one of the problems is that what we've seen is that in January, inflation, as measured by the PCE and CPI, was pretty hot. And then February, it was also hot, but not quite as bad. And then March, still too high, but it looks like maybe if you kind of play that game of connect the dots, the January, February, and March ones, it might be trending a little bit lower, but there still is no reason for the Fed to try to start cutting rates anytime soon.
Yeah, that's right. And the Treasury yields reacted to that. And of course, one of the things we look at is the economy, and is it growing? Is it not growing? Is it slowing down? Because, of course, it's going to be a major part of the election season.
Yes.
Is how is the economy doing? And that GDP report came in, and it was a bit tepid.
Yeah, tepid is a great way to describe it. 1.6% annualized. So the way that they do it is whatever the quarterly change is, they just kind of multiply it by four, saying, what if that continued for the entire year? 1.6% is almost like treading water, to be honest with you. And the details of it were pretty illuminating. What we saw is a continuation of the trend of consumers driving growth, but that consumer spending is beginning to slow a little bit. There's actually a decline in the volume of purchases of goods, but an increase in services, but even that part has been slowing a little bit
lately.
Yeah,
that's for sure. And of course, you know, another part of this election conversation is going to be who leads the Fed. And of course, Chairman Powell has taken a lot of punches over the years of, you know, the term transitory, which was not transitory. And then you'll remember several years ago, he was actually asking for inflation.
I know. You imagine that he looks at what he has said in the past, and I've done that too, right? You've said something, you're like, man, I really wish I didn't
Everyone
say that.
Everyone's done that.
Yeah. But he was being too specific with the word transitory, saying, let's say 6 months. Well, you know, it's been a lot more than 6 months. It's going on, I think, now like 2 years. And then as far as he said that when we were coming out of COVID, that, hey, we would welcome some inflation because we know how to deal with that problem.
Right.
Well, do they really?
Got away, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's switch topics because that is certainly something we're going to continue to converse about. But of course, we are in earnings seasons. A ton of reports came out this week. In fact, I think about 150, is that right?
That's correct.
150 of the S&P 500 reports came out this weekend. It was a mixed bag, mm-hmm. but in general, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I would say that really, if it's a scorecard, on balance, it was good. We're about halfway through. About 46% of the S&P 500 companies have reported so far. And within any given sector, so let's say technology or communication services or energy, it's been kind of winners and losers, where if you just take as an example, let's compare Meta, the parent to Facebook, to Alphabet and Microsoft. Meta, you know, they were investing a lot of money in artificial intelligence and begging investors to be patient with them for it to actually pay off.
Right.
Contrast that to Alphabet and Microsoft. They've made the investment and it is already paying off for
right.
them.
And so higher sales, right? Yep. Higher revenues, no matter what your industry is. You like to see the revenue number go up. Some had earnings go up, right?
Yep.
That's the bottom line, and some didn't. But those that had both revenue and earnings beat certainly were rewarded. That is the dynamic duo that we like to talk about. But let's just switch real quick to these consumer stocks that we've been looking at.
Yeah, on the consumer side, one of the messages is that the consumer is resilient but price sensitive. I think Pepsi, when they announced their earnings, they were talking about the resilience of the consumer. Kimberly-Clark, they reported higher volumes, not just prices. And that's one of the things on our investment committee that we really pay attention to. We want to understand the fundamentals, the valuations, and then the market opportunities for the companies that we invest in. And one of the fundamentals is not just about looking at revenue or earnings, but it's about, is there actually volume behind it? It's not just about price, it's also the quantities. And for a number of these companies, they're saying, yes, actually the volumes are improving, but that's not across the board. Contrast that with, say, Tesla, electric vehicles, or even with Ford and General Motors. Well, the earnings were good for Ford and General Motors. The volumes that they're looking at for electrical vehicles is actually declining. And so now they have to do some price concessions. So if you don't have the volume growth, it's really hard to sustain any price increases as well.
So let me try to wrap this all up. Give me your best Clint Eastwood, right? The good, of course, was that we had good earnings report and some de-escalation geopolitically. Did I get that right?
That's right.
The bad was we saw some economic numbers, and we even talk about this, but German PMI and some other places starting to slow down, and the outright ugly.
Yes, the outright ugly. I'd say the Treasury auctions have been pretty ugly as far as the amount of debt that's out there, the way that it needs to be financed and absorbed by households and businesses. Some of those auctions, that's why we've seen so much volatility in the yield and bond market.
Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management. Dave Spano, our President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management. It's our Week in Review. It's powerful information. It's yours for free, and it's always available on demand at the top of the hour, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, the Axiom newsletter. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, Sunday, April 28th. Still to come, you did the tax prep, you filed. Now it's time for tax planning. That's what we do. We're going to be right back. 92.5 Fox News.
Market volatility, global issues, inflation, still more than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans feel uncertain about their financial futures. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennials, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. You may need more than investments. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
Fiduciary advice on your schedule, live radio, podcasts, Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel, plus AnnexWealth.com. You're never going to be far from learning more and about our fee-only fiduciary advice. On this radio show, let's do it again. I'm Danny Clayton. Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management, is here. Dave Spano, President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management.
Thank you, Danny. You know, everyone's talking about the election, of course, and just overwhelmed with everything that's happening. And people go, well, what's going to happen in the swing states, and how are the polls looking? But we came up with one of these things, which is a really good indicator of who is going to win. It's called the Misery Index, and we want to talk about that.
That's right. Yeah. So the Misery Index, this is something that's actually been around for a while, where if you add the inflation rate to the unemployment rate, that is what's called the Misery Index. Because if you kind of think about what do people not like, they don't like high prices, or rather high inflation, and they don't like being unemployed. So you add those two together, and it's a pretty good indicator about how people are feeling. There's a high correlation between that, how people feel, how they spend, and how they vote.
And so we went back to 1960, so 16 elections, and 15 of the 16 this was a good indicator.
It really was. So when the misery index has been elevated, it's really who do people blame, right? They usually, right or wrong, they are going to blame the incumbent. And I think that right now, the misery index, it is still elevated. Based upon most recent data, it's about 7.3. And the average, as we go back to through the 1960s, is around 9.2. So it has been higher on average, but it is moving the wrong direction for the incumbent. I think it's not just about the level, it's also the rate of change of it.
And of course, we're going to have to watch that, because any sustained rise, of course, in inflation or the unemployment rate starting to tick up is going to make that index go higher. The only time that it didn't work, and it was worth noting, was in October of 1976. And there was a lot of things happening. Of course, Nixon had been exited, if you will, a little bit earlier than that. And there was a transition to Ford at that time. And so one of the things that we wanted to look at is, if it didn't work, why didn't it work?
Yes.
But we're right at that number right now. So we're going to pay attention to that as we go forward. And it's, again, you talk about why these things are happening, and people, as you talked about, per capita disposable income, again, not to get too deep, but this is the reason why people feel that pain.
That's right. And so when we see the economic data, it's oftentimes for the economy as a whole. I like looking at it on a per person basis. And so if we look at the real personal income, excluding transfer payments from the government,
right,
it's up 2.3% year on year for the economy as a whole. But if you do that on a per person basis, it's only up 0.9%, because we have had population growth. And so that's really, I think, what matters. It's not just how's the overall economy doing, how are individuals doing?
And of course, that population growth you refer to is, of course, immigration, another hot topic, and it's something that we're going to talk about for the next couple of months and kind of give you an indicator of where things are going.
Dave Spanos, our president and CEO, Annex Wealth Management, Brian Jacobson, our chief economist. We got them for the rest of the show. There's a lot more to come. In fact, up next, now the taxes are done, use that data to work on tax planning. We do it for our clients. We can do it for you. Ask Annex is on the way, and so is a chat about volatility, which has reared its head. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News. Good news, bad news. The good news, inflation today is nothing like it's been in the past few years. The bad news, lower inflation doesn't mean lower prices. In fact, one recent study says investors still consider inflation their single biggest threat. If you're concerned how inflation might affect your legacy, your financial freedom, or your confidence, meet with the team at Annex Wealth Management. We're fee-only fiduciaries. We'll build a plan together and guide you on the steps to take to reach the retirement you desire. Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference. AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? You know, there's filing your taxes, and then there's tax planning. One you do mid-April, and the other is pretty much a year-round task, or at least it should be. And it's something we do for clients of Annex Wealth Management as part of Comprehensive Wealth Management. Joining me to talk about it is Mark Stry, CFP, enrolled agent with the IRS, and a senior wealth strategist with Annex Private Client. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Danny.
True or false, you have reviewed hundreds and hundreds of tax documents.
Definitely in the hundreds, likely in the thousands.
In your past, I know you played baseball at a D1 level in college. Which is harder, a D1 baseball season or tax season?
It depends on what the weather is. They're both a grind. Certainly enjoyed my time with baseball. Really prepared me for where I am today, having a new passion now, and that's taxes and tax planning.
So you work closely with our clients on tax planning. What is it that we can learn after taxes have been done and filed that'll help us both in financial planning as well as next year's taxes? Because I think a lot of people get it backwards. They think the tax preparation is the thing. The tax planning is the thing.
Tax planning is the most important. And the way I look at it is like a big funnel. At the very highest level, I think that it all starts with, what was your initial reaction of last year's outcome? Were there surprises? Did you owe? Did you get money back? Those are all things that are important to consider, because the return that you just completed kind of sets the framework for what we're going to be doing the following year.
So when you're working on tax planning, what are the things that you've got your eye on, and what could influence this year's tax planning that people should be thinking about?
By far the biggest is that we are expected to see a major tax change coming beginning 2026. This means that we have the remainder of 2024 and 2025 to finish up basically any planning that's at the lowest rates we've ever seen. What many people don't realize is that the way the current tax code is structured, most taxpayers as a whole saw a dramatic reduction in the amount of taxes they're paying each year. So knowing that there's a high probability that the tax rates are likely going to increase in the future, I think these next 2 years are really key to try to focus on some meaningful planning.
Is what we do now going to affect 2 years down the road? I'm guessing, yeah.
100%. Huh. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if you look at this year, we're in an election year, so you're going to see some market volatility. And while we never like to see the markets go down, it does create some opportunities for planning.
Mark Stry is Senior Wealth Strategist, CFP at Annex Wealth Management, part of the Annex Private Client Team. So only 2 years left. Strategies you see greatest impact because these things are going to sunset.
So when designing planning strategies, one of the lenses that I like to look through is how can we save you the most amount of taxes over the remainder of your lifetime and your beneficiary's lifetime? This requires a broad, forward-looking approach, which makes having a financial plan so key. This may mean that we will have to pay more taxes now, so this year and next year, and pay them earlier than what we would otherwise need to. But the one thing that we know we can't avoid is taxes. You're going to pay them during your lifetime, or your beneficiaries are going to pay them, likely at rates that are going to be higher in the future than what they are today. So why not take some proactive steps to see how to minimize them?
What is the reaction when we tell a client that you might need to pay more taxes now to pay less taxes in the future? That's not great news.
There's definitely sticker shock.
Yeah.
But when you are sitting in a conference room and the way we kind of go through the plans and talk through the strategies, you definitely see the numbers that support that. Just looking at, hey, if we make these moves today, you're going to pay X number in taxes, but in the future, you're going to save X, assuming that the rates just go back the way we think they are, which is at the very minimum a sunset.
Your work with Annex Private Client, what types of taxpayers are these? Are these business owners, these highly compensated individuals, all of the above?
Yeah, so we work with a lot of higher net worth families, many people who have done a great job of savings over time. What we tend to see is that because these individuals have been higher income earners, that they have a large accumulation of pre-tax assets. So during those working years, you put away pre-tax, save money during the higher wage years. But now we're at retirement and we're starting to see that you're really not going to save too much in taxes because of required minimum distributions and all of the IRA distributions that you'll have to take out.
And if they own businesses, this is part of their picture as well.
100%. Unless you're going to be in business forever or transfer, give it to your kid. There's going to be a sale at some point, most likely. So, you know, planning around those events are very key.
And if somebody is in the process of maybe thinking about a business plan of succession, do we help with that as well?
We can definitely talk through things to consider. So we don't broker businesses. Really where we work is helping with the decision making around timing and then being able to talk through then what when you have the proceeds and then how do we make that transition into the rest of life.
Mark Stry is a senior wealth strategist at Annex Private Client. He's also a CFP and an enrolled agent with the IRS. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Danny.
Inflation, market volatility, global unrest, a presidential election. You're not alone if you're feeling stressed about your investment and retirement planning. Take control with help from Annex Wealth Management. We'll build a plan that works for you, your family, and your investment and retirement goals. Annex offers financial planning at every level. Just starting out, there's Annex Ignite. If retirement is on the horizon, Annex Comprehensive Wealth is a great fit. If you've got high net worth and complex planning challenges, consider Annex Private Client. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. AnnexWealth.com.
Time for Ask Annex. Got a question for us? You head to the website, AnnexWealth.com. Look for the Ask tab. We get back to everybody. Don't have to be a client for that. We would like to engage with everybody. In the studio, Fred Coleman, CFP and a wealth manager. Hey.
Hey, Danny.
And we got Matt Morsey, investment team manager, also a CFP. Hello.
Hey, Danny.
Question number one on Ask Annex today. What advice do you give when one spouse wants to move upon retiring and the other wants to stay? And Matt and I were talking off air. We both could have written this question.
Oh, for sure. It's a conversation we have in my house all the time. And I've got quite a while before retirement.
Yeah.
To us, it's communication and working through, you know, what's important and having something to retire to and what your plan is going to be and get to that spot. Sometimes it's moving within a different area of where you already live. You know, sometimes it's more drastic of living to a different part of the country. I've got 20 years plus to get her to change her mind. But ultimately, you know, it's communication, I think, between everyone to figure out what those goals are for retirement and what you want to do there.
Question two. Are you familiar with Acorns? I'm wondering if I need to push my kids to consider something like this to get them interested in savings. We've got parents all the way around. Fred, we'll start with you.
I love Acorns, and the big reason for that is just because it promotes people to invest, and I'm for anything that does move the bar forward with that, whether it's a, you know, simple app where, you know, you're rounding up your spare change or you're doing it intentionally. And the big thing is with kids, you have the opportunity when they're young to mold them as when they get older, it's a lot harder to change those habits. So anything you can do to create those habits when it comes to automatic investing, teaching them about the stock market, all those things will pay dividends in the long term.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea. And I think we can tell from, you know, behavioral finance, the things that encourage people to save or encourage people to do the right thing. You know, we think about payroll deductions from a 401k standpoint, the amount of money that's been saved in 401ks or 403bs, because it's automatic. You don't think about it and you don't even see it unless you're looking at your pay stub, is dramatic. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that have been the push over the last few years in that part of the industry. And from out of Washington, as making automatic 401k contributions when you start at a new employer, and then you don't even get to make that choice right away. It's done there, and then you have to make a choice either not to do it or to change it. It's really powerful. Same thing if you think about from a tax standpoint, that your taxes are taken straight out of your paycheck, because the government found that if you had to just write that full check once a year, the odds of them collecting and their ability to collect is much lower than if they did it automatically. Same thing with something like an app like that, that is just pulling that money out. You're not thinking about that extra 10 cents, 25 cents, 50 cents. And it seems so small, but it will add up. And especially if it's getting invested along the way, that's a great way to force savings on yourself, you know, or helping your children get started like that. And it is going to seem really, really small for probably a really long time. But eventually that thing is really going to kick up and it's really going to compound on itself. And it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's the little stuff. So we've got this program with our health insurance. If you go 5,000 steps, you get 75 cents. But if you do another 5,000, you get $1.25.
Oh, I love that.
I'm obsessed with getting the $2 every day. I'm like obsessed with it. It's Ask Annex. Next question is, I bought a stock that's going down. I'd like to set up a standing sell order so that if it hits a certain low point, sell it. I have the option on stop on quote, trailing stop, money, trailing stop percentage. This is the explanation given, but I still don't understand the difference.
There's a lot of different ways to place trades, and a lot of the terminology and the definitions that are put out there are pretty confusing and pretty technical. Try to simplify these things. Let's just imagine a stock's at $50 a share. A stop on quote would say, or a lot of times it's just referred to as just a plain stop, is that if it falls down to 40, let's say, just stop, falls down to a lower number, you're just going to sell. You don't care what price you get for it. You just want to get out. So stock goes from 50 down to 40. You're going to get out probably somewhere around 40, but you don't know for sure. The risk there is if the stock closes at $41 today and bad earnings come out and it opens up to 35 tomorrow, you're probably going to get somewhere around 35, but you're getting out. Now, if you have a minimum that you want to make sure you get, that's where the stop limit comes in, where you could say, okay, my stop is 40. So that's a trigger, but I don't want to get anything lower than 40. So you have to have both a go down to 40, but then at least maintain 40, at least for another trade, for you to get out at that point. So in that example where it went down to 35, you'd have to wait for that stock to go back up to 40, then you can get out. So it's saying, I want to get out, but here's the minimum. Trailing stop dollars or trailing stop percentage is basically going to say is, I don't want to track this over time. And if my stock is going up, I want to have my stop follow it up with it. So you could either set a dollar amount difference. So that $10 before, your stock went from 50 to 60, it's going to follow the stop up from 40 up to 50. It's going to do it for you. A stop percentage is, I want a percentage gap, and I wanted to follow it by that. So,
did you follow any of that?
I leave that to the investment guys, right? That's why we have a great team to be able to do
that. I would say that is the simplistic explanation of it as well, too.
That's why I'm a client of Annex Wealth Management.
Pictures really do a good job in these types of explanations.
Matt Morsey, Investment Team Manager, CFP, thanks.
Thank you.
And we got Fred Coleman, CFP Wealth Manager, thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
That is Ask Annex. Got a question for us? Head to the website, look for the Ask button. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
Market volatility, global issues, inflation, still more than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans feel uncertain about their financial futures. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennials, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. You may need more than investments. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? Brandon Lehman, Director of Annex Private Client and a Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management, is back. Hey, Brandon.
Danny, how are you?
Good. A couple years ago, markets were pretty choppy. It was volatile. You and I sat down and we talked about investing and planning during times of volatility. And at the time, things were kind of grim. Yeah, 2022, we're looking at you.
That was a year of a lot of things going on, right? You had geopolitical, you had rate raises. There's just so many things. And kind of glad that's behind us, but in reality, we know it happens.
Let's fast forward to now. things were getting a little bumpy again. I'm first to admit, maybe I got a short memory. I didn't live 2022, but things got rolling pretty good. There was blue sky, now some darker clouds, some volatility. Maybe we should remind ourselves about the proper mindset when waters get choppy, and it's human nature. Probably what makes us want to buy more stocks, take more risk when prices are up, but less when they're down. Brennan, is it true that investors are really at risk of giving up value through poor timing?
Absolutely, because what happens is investors let their emotions get the best of them. So if you miss just one of the best days in the market for the whole year, let's say you were out and then you got right back in, that can have an impact on the overall return. And that's so short-sighted, right? Because when you start to plan, you're always thinking long-term, right? This retirement window can be 30, 35 years, depending on how long, you know, longevity in your family, it could be even longer. So you have to not think day to day and realize that over the long term, it's going to be okay. And I remember 2020, actually, so we're going back quite a few years now, and we used to say, and Dave said it all the time, this too shall pass. And that's the mentality you have to have when you think about the short-term investing. It's like, this is going to pass. Focus on the plan, what we're trying to do for a long term.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. Investors can make mistakes when they change the portfolio inappropriately. And there's two things in particular. One is changing a portfolio constantly in reaction to market swings. And then those who don't rebalance often enough. That doesn't mean all the time.
Yeah. So it's there's a happy medium there for the most part. So changing it every month, what good is that going to do? You want to let some of these things run sometimes, but also ignoring it completely, like the buy and hold mentality. Yeah, it can work out. But all of a sudden, if you're one of those that just keeps sliding the statements to the side and doesn't really think about it, well, in reality, maybe it grew way too risky for your comfort zone and you're not realizing those swings. So you want to have a professional team like Annex, right? That where we're, our team is looking at and strategically saying, okay, now because of X, Y, and Z that the investment team and the committee saw in the market, we're going to trim this portion of the portfolio. And we're going to do that because we need to bring the risk back in check, back to reality. Or 2022, well, here are opportunities. And I remember them. I remember when they occurred. You know, there were certain points that year where the investment team is like, hey, we should do this. And everybody's like, really? And we're like, yes. But it was long-term vision that they were using and long-term planning, not just, hey, let's get this today because it's a good deal. It's like, no, this makes sense to purchase now. And sometimes folks forget that this is a long-term game.
This is human nature, though, right? I mean, when things are great, everything's great. And then when things get choppy, we get worried.
Oh, absolutely. And I might age myself here, but, you know, I think about what happened in 08, 09 and what it meant as a family that grew up in manufacturing and what that did to the manufacturing. I permanently have that scar on me that, yeah. Oh, man, doesn't look good. In reality, I have to always think long term, like, no, it's going to be okay. And it did pan out. There were bumps, but we made it through it. And we just have to stay focused on the long term. That's the key.
Brandon Lehman is director of Annex Private Client, also a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Keeping your head when things are volatile. Here's another and something the financial news is full of, getting swept up in market frenzies. And there have been a bunch.
Oh, yes. What is it? The meme stock craze? Yeah. Was that something? Yeah. Everybody starts getting caught up in fear of missing out, right? You don't want to be the one who missed the opportunity. And that's just jumping at whatever the media says. Now, remember, the media, and I'm going to pick on more television media in this side of the world, they're there to give you stories, but also to draw ratings, right? They need to draw ratings. And I'm not saying they're pushing bad ideas, but they're just talking about an idea more and more and more because it draws people in. Well, that's not a reason to chase something. There is no reason to chase anything. Actually, what you're trying to do is build a strategic allocation for a long-term goal. And yes, you might find really good opportunities, but that takes research. That takes understanding of price to books, price to earnings, all these things that are talked about that the investment team does, a bottom-up approach on equities, a manager research selection process. That's how you look at it. It's not just, hey, this name is really good today. We got to go buy it. No, does it really truly make sense long-term? Otherwise, you have what happened in that meme stock portion where it was up, down, up, down. We don't want that. We want long-term growth, looking for solid planning.
The market has cycles. We should not forget that. keep a proper perspective. Brandon has outlined a number of things, but if we can help on your journey, AnnexWealth.com, click on that Get Started button. Brandon Lehman, Director of Annex Private Client Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Danny.
Good news, bad news. The good news, inflation today is nothing like it's been in the past few years. The bad news, lower inflation doesn't mean lower prices. In fact, one recent study says investors still consider inflation their single biggest threat. If you're concerned how inflation might affect your legacy, your financial freedom, or your confidence, meet with the team at Annex Wealth Management. We're fee-only fiduciaries. We'll build a plan together and guide you on the steps to take to reach the retirement you desire. Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference. AnnexWealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? This is an Annex Ignite team segment. Joining me, Jeff Stonick, CFP, Wealth Manager and Manager of Annex Ignite. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, Danny. Thanks for having me on today.
Annex decided a long ago that financial planning and wealth management is for everyone. That's where Annex Ignite comes in. It's for people maybe just starting out that want to have a relationship with a firm that offers comprehensive wealth management. That is my elevator speech. How'd I do?
Yeah, I would say you're spot on. Our core value here at Annex is that everyone gets a plan. We're going to talk to everyone, regardless of where you are at your stage in life. And so that's what we do at Ignite. We meet people in the beginning of their stage of life. We meet people that are 10 years from retirement.
One thing that we do know is it's probably too easy. Maybe it's intimidating. So people just put financial planning on the back burner. The opposite is true.
Oh, absolutely. We all have goals in life, whether they're 5-year, 10-year, 30-year goals, but you need a framework to get to that goal. So that's what our financial planning does.
You know, I'm going to imagine that one of the most pressing questions for Annex Ignite clients is, are we on track? How do we help out there?
Right. We're going to put everything in that they're doing currently, whether it's their salary, what they're saving at work, what the employer's giving them. We'll build out that framework, and the financial software will let us see where it is 5 years from now, 10 years, 20 years from now. And then everyone will have an idea. Now, along those ways, we're going to coach people. If you're saving X, we're going to push you to save X.2, X.3, right? Through life stages, that's what we'll do for you.
Let me ask you this. Who's a typical client of Annex Ignite? I know that's a really broad question.
Anyone who is interested in finding out where they are, because we're going to help people. We meet people in their 20s that are aggressive and want to plan their life out for the next 45 years. And we meet people that are 50 and are like, I got to do something.
Yeah. First step with Annex Wealth Management is Wealthmetric. That is our free portfolio analysis. Great place to start. You talked about that a little bit before, but take us through that process a little bit more.
The M1, the first meeting, we're going to get to know you. We'll understand your current situation. We want to know who you are, what's important to you, your family, your finances, obviously, are part of that discussion. But we gather all that data. We put it in the software. We'll look at the portfolio separate from the financial plan, but we do both.
In fact, a lot of times, I think the portfolio is the thing that we would look at second. Bigger thing is what is it that you want to do? How do you want to do it?
Exactly. We need to know what this portfolio needs to do for you. So before we look at where you're invested from a sector or cap market capitalization wise in your portfolio, let's figure out what these dollars are going to do for you at some point. And that's where the plan comes in.
With Jeff Stonick, CFP, Wealth Manager and Manager of Annex Ignite. Talk a little bit about how we use technology for the Ignite clients.
Well, Ignite is an online presence that we have for our clients. And I would say 99% of the time, it's purely we're meeting via Zoom, meeting our clients. So through those meetings, we have different software, our financial planning software, our portfolio analysis software that we share, and we show the clients how they're doing, how their plan used. So then the clients, if they become clients, they'll have access to that software so they can monitor it themselves.
We called that Annex Everywhere before COVID. So when COVID hit, we were able to really pivot so easily and meet with clients across the board. Financial planning and wealth management is for everybody. If somebody thinks they don't qualify, maybe they're not wealthy, that is not the case with Annex Ignite.
That's not the case with Annex, period, but absolutely Annex Ignite. I mean, we give us a call. I mean, Dave says it every time in a meeting. Give us a call. We'll help you out, and that's what we'll do. You know, because I've had people actually tell me. I've talked to other people, and they won't talk to me because I don't have enough money. That's not the case here.
And we've said that a long time ago, that financial planning and wealth management is for everybody. Start today. Get a plan. Put that Annex Ignite team to work by going to AnnexWealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Jeff Stonick is a CFP and a wealth manager and manager of Annex Ignite. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Danny.
Is there anything sweeter than the crisp sound of a driver when it connects purely with the ball?
Many golfers evaluate the quality of their shot by the sound it makes. You may feel the same about your financial plan. Something doesn't seem, look, or sound right. Think of Annex Wealth Management as financial swing doctors. We'll give you the truly objective analysis that comes from a fee-only fiduciary with no products to push or commissions to chase. If you need help, talk to our pros. Get started at AnnexWealth.com.
Back on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News with Robert Chastain, Branch Director, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management here in Southwest Florida. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Danny.
So I remember when you were a kid, and without thinking, you would say, I'm bored. Your parents were like my parents. That was the wrong thing to say. They would then find something to make me not bored, and it usually involved doing some sort of chore. Some people get bored in retirement. Now, some don't. But what if you don't have things to keep you occupied in retirement? You might get bored, and worse, you might get depressed. We need purpose, and we really need it in retirement. Robert, we're going to go over a couple of suggestions. I've seen the list. I know what I would probably do if I get bored, but there's a few I wouldn't, and that's cool because, you know, to each their own. Robert, and you've gone through this firsthand, right? You retired and unretired, right? Right.
Yes.
I don't know about this one because, boy, it's a steep learning curve, but a new language.
So, Danny, that's a really funny one. My oldest son married a woman from Mexico, so I am learning Spanish.
Yeah.
Well, and I impressed. She was here last week, and I impress her with my advancement.
Well, how is his?
My son's Spanish is very, very good now, and my grandson, who's two, he even knows a few words. So I spoke to him in a little simple Spanish.
Oh yeah,
and so he's bilingual already. So it's interesting.
Yeah, if he can grow up speaking, it's going to be a whole lot better. And you know, Southwest Florida, perfect place to speak Spanish. That is for
easy.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
one
no.
of the most amazing things about learning a language is it's. For your brain, there's other than Sudoku, there might not be anything better than that keeps exercising your brain and forcing it to grow.
Yeah, I think you're right. If I put a plug in for my little weird hobby is I'm a ham radio operator, and I am fluent in Morse code, and I would say that's a good little brain teaser puzzle kind of a thing. I don't know where you're going to use it besides ham radio, but I really enjoy Morse code, and I think it keeps me sharp.
Sure it does.
Okay. Next up, you know, not being bored in retirement. That is the goal. And if your health is good, how about a sports league? I mean, you're all over that.
Well, Danny, we've talked about my activities quite a few times, you know, but my motto is you either move it or you could lose it, right?
Yeah.
Sitting on the couch with the remote. So, I mean, there's so many things you can do. I ref football, basketball, soccer. I play a lot of pickleball. I cycle a lot. I'm in the gym, you know, 3-4 days a week. Just never catch me sitting around very often or for very long.
You know, people want to avoid getting sore, but actually I kind of like being a little bit of sore because that means that I've kind of done some things.
You forced your body to grow.
That's right.
And it's recovering. Sore
right.
means it's recovering. So you've stretched it.
Yep. Staying active, fighting off boredom in retirement. What can you do? Honing a hobby is a very wide category. But if you're into something now, you're going to be able to spend more time. Why not dive in on your passion?
There's so many things to do here in Southwest Florida. And one thing that's I'm looking at right now, and I'll put this out there, is I'm thinking about getting a drone and doing some filming.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'm watching some birds and, you know, the butterflies, but there's so many book clubs, car clubs. And one other thing that I've started doing here is I've started growing some of my own food.
Mm.
Just because you know exactly what's in it if you grow it. So... And, you know, I have a puppy that's a year old last week. So, you know, I have the pets. I'm growing some food. I'm, you know, there's just varied interests, you know. And my wife likes to read a lot. So we're at the library. The libraries in Southwest Florida are amazing. So much to do.
It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News. Robert Chastain, Branch Director, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management here in Southwest Florida, fighting boredom in retirement. One of the suggestions is art. When I was researching this topic, I learned about this thing called diamond art. Have you heard about this? It's huge.
I, I have not heard about diamond art, but art in general, I don't know if you know this, Danny, but adults or kids in recovery, art is one of the best things to get a child to talk while they're doing art, because it kind of relaxes them, takes the anxiety away, and kids will share more if they're painting or drawing, or, you know, it just gets them to open up easier.
We're talking about fighting boredom in retirement. This next one, it's a little bit more advanced, and it tread carefully on this one, starting a business.
As long as you're not putting your retirement in jeopardy, you know, if it passes the plan, but do you really want to be that responsible? Just make sure you dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and if you want to make that time commitment, because you have retired and you've earned it. Just make sure that you know what time commitment you're signing up for before you do that, and monetary commitment.
Yeah. Well, maybe the next best thing is maybe you just keep a toe in the water. You work part-time, and the key here is you do something you like. Maybe you work at a garden center. Maybe, you know, you could do just about anything, but something that you really like.
Well, that, or you could be a starter at a golf course you really like at. Maybe you get a big discount. I mean, there's so many things that need qualified people that you can do, and then maybe your hobby you can do for a discount.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
If you can combine them, even better.
Final suggestion to combat boredom in retirement, that would be volunteering. And I actually read a great article in the Wall Street Journal recently, and they were talking about volunteering, and one of the guys brought this up, and I kind of agree with that. He says, you know what, I want to volunteer, but I don't want to take tickets at the local theater. I want to do something more. So that's where you need to have a better search, a more concerted effort.
There probably isn't anything that makes you feel better if you are sharing your knowledge and your skills with somebody who really needs it. I do a lot with friends of foster kids, and I just really, really enjoy it, Danny. I mean, those kids, you know, we do Star Ability with reffing. We have them come out on Thursday nights. I would say I probably get more out of it than they do, but the beaming smiles on their faces, getting them involved, it's really just a great way to spend your time.
Getting back to when you said you were thinking about getting a drone, my wife got me a drone probably 2 Christmases ago.
Oh, no.
You know where this is going. I crashed it into a tree, and it has not been behaving since. And I just, every time I turn it back on, it hasn't healed itself. So I haven't taken it up yet. It's got this funky little error message, and I don't want to send it in. So that's as far as I got. But boy, it was fun when it lasted.
I'm circling on a couple drones right now, so I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay away from the trees.
Yeah, stay away from the trees. All right, Annex Wealth Management, what we would love to do is help you with investment and retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary. It all starts at annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Get going on the wealth metric process. Robert Chastain, Branch Director, Wealth Manager, Annex Wealth Management here in Southwest Florida. Thank you. Going to take a break and be back. What is the Annex experience? That's next on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
Market volatility, global issues, inflation, still more than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans feel uncertain about their financial futures. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennials, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. You may need more than investments. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? Brandon Lehman, CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management, is back. Hello.
Danny, how are you?
Not bad. You know, we're all invested in the success of our clients. It goes beyond the portfolio. It stretches into their post-retirement lives, because we want it to be right. We want the experience to be of the highest quality, and that is the Annex experience.
Yeah, it is. And the Annex experience, in what we call now the Annex Experience Binder, is a tool or an opportunity for you to see what we do in writing laid out before you, and really give you the story of Annex in the best possible way.
It's simple, it's transparent, it's easy to follow. And I know this thing right from the start. defines how Annex Wealth Management operates. In fact, the first page is the Who We Are section, our founding, our employee count, the number of clients, our type of clients, our locations. It's all summed up one page.
Why we did it that way is it's basically bottom line up front, right? This is who we are, this is what we do, and this is the story of us. But we can do it in one page, and that's what's key. It's short, it's right there, right at the start.
Yep, and the rubber meets the road right after that. And that's where we explain how Annex Wealth Management is a fiduciary. Not just sometimes, all of the time. Why is that important?
Well, it's important because it separates us. That's the difference, right? You say it all the time, know the difference. That's the difference. 100% of the time, we are a fiduciary acting in the best interest of our clients. And we spell that out right from the get-go in our experience binder.
The Annex Wealth Management Experience Binder covers how we customize planning, where your money is held, and in explicit detail outlines how our fees work.
Yeah, and that's what's important. It's 100% transparent. This is what we do. This is how we help our clients, and these are the teams and the tools that we bring to the table to make sure you have a successful financial retirement picture.
Let's talk about some of those teams. Our clients will become familiar with the wealth manager and the client service manager.
This is the quarterback and the quarterback A of the team here, because the client service manager and wealth manager are really the ones that are helping you get to where you need to be, doing all the research, but they're pulling in all these other teams that are listed on in the book.
Yeah, we're built on that team platform because nobody really can do it alone. Let's talk about financial planning team and their involvement with our clients, and that department just keeps getting bigger.
That department is amazing, and I wish we had time today to talk about some of the amazing things they just did recently, but really it's a team of certified financial planners that are going to look at what you have going on, look for the opportunities, build out the financial plan, and come back to us and say, this is what we see, these are the opportunities. Let's take advantage of X, Y, or Z, or at least, hey, you want to retire at this date? We see this as the opportunity, or maybe this is something we need to tackle and change, but if we do this, this leads to success.
That's for new clients coming in, but established clients, they get it as well.
That's very true. So just because you've been with Annex for 5, 10, 15 years doesn't mean the financial planning team doesn't look at it and the wealth manager doesn't say, hey, I see an opportunity. It just might not be upfront because you've been reviewing it, you know, once, twice a year, always talking about these things.
The Annex experience, it's our goal. It should be your expectation. How about tax planning?
Tax planning is huge. You know, we talk about it. You need to be constantly thinking about this. Some folks, maybe not, right? It's real straightforward, but a lot of those business owners, those executives, those high net worth people where they got a lot of different things coming in, I'll throw out the dreaded K-1. That's where you take the tax team and you feed them this information and they're looking at it going, yep, we see this opportunity. We should do this instead of that. And it's a constant ongoing thing. And that's what's key. It's some of these instances, depending on the executive or the business owner, we're looking at this every quarter because the situation is changing so much.
The Annex experience, Brandon Lehman is CFP, a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. So where other firms might contract outside companies for the investment management, we absolutely, positively do not.
Yeah, everything is done in-house, and that's what's amazing. We have individuals here with CFAs, PhDs, MBAs, and they're looking and building the best solutions for our clients that fit their needs inside their financial plan, all under the roof here at Annex.
How about that estate planning team? That thing gets bigger all the time to meet our clients' needs.
And that's another unique thing that people don't think about, but the estate planning side of the house is, one, is that all your documents good? Yeah. Let's just review that. That's straightforward. And for some clients, we're just looking at that every few years to make sure everything's good. But then there's situations where, does that even make sense anymore? Or you don't have anything, but you want to do something complex. Talk to our estate planning attorneys. That's included in this comprehensive wealth management fee-only fiduciary. The different things we're going to do, but having that team is such an amazing asset for the firm and for our clients, especially for our clients.
I ran into Amy from that team at the coffee machine and I said, hey, you can download this stuff now. She just laughed.
Yeah, you could, but how good is that going to be?
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, we share a lot of information on our radio shows, and some say we give it away, but what you hear over the air is only a glimpse into the client experience. Once you're a client, a whole new level opens up to you and your family.
Yeah, it's really just getting the full Annex experience. And what I mean by the full Annex experience is not just the planning, but it's the guidance. It's the ability to call up and bounce an idea off of us. Should I pay off the mortgage? You know, does this sound right? Or should we think about that? It's all right here at Annex. You call and we have the teams here and the capabilities and the skill set to do our best to answer those. And if we don't, we know we can find somebody who can help us out.
I think this thing is tremendous. There is a significant difference between financial advisors. We want you to know the difference. The Annex experience, it is transparent, it's professional. It provides value.
what it does is it shows the skill set and the depth of the teams that Annex brings to the table and all the different things we can do for you. Maybe you don't need all of it. Maybe you need one of the four. Maybe you need all four, but they're all here waiting for us to help you.
We'd be proud to show you. Head to annexwealth.com, click that Get Started button, get going on that wealth metric process. Brandon Lehman, CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. There's a lot there, but thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Danny.
Inflation, market volatility, global unrest, a presidential election. You're not alone if you're feeling stressed about your investment and retirement planning. Take control with help from Annex Wealth Management. We'll build a plan that works for you, your family, and your investment and retirement goals. Annex offers financial planning at every level. Just starting out, there's Annex Ignite. If retirement is on the horizon, Annex Comprehensive Wealth is a great fit. If you've got high net worth and complex planning challenges, consider Annex Private Client. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. AnnexWealth.com.
We're back. If you'd like to hear a podcast version of the show, it's going to be live at the top of the hour. Wherever you get your podcasts, we have financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, Annex Ignite. We're going to meet you right where you're at. Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist at Annex Wealth Management. Dave Spanos, our President and CEO.
Yeah, that's a great lead in, Danny. Of course, you know, we have these three verticals, Annex Ignite for those who are just getting going, Annex Comprehensive Wealth for most people, and Annex Private Client. And that's where I want to go with this segment. We got a question that came out of a sophisticated investor, and they started to talk about dividends. Yes. And why they're good and what's happening in the market right now. And I thought that would be a great topic today, Brian.
Yeah, it really is. And it's very timely, mainly because if you hadn't noticed, Alphabet, the also known as Google, right? So it's the parent company of that search engine. They announced that they're going to start paying a dividend. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, when you think about a technology company, a company that's in growth mode, they don't necessarily always pay dividends. That used to be one of those indicators of maybe this cash cow kind of a stodgy.
But
no
why
growth.
Don't they? You nailed it when you said they were growth companies, right? They're taking some of that free cash flow and investing it back into the company.
That's right. Exactly. So it's not a bad thing, right? It's just that they believe that they can invest back in the company for growth, grow that faster than what maybe you can earn as far as if you're spending it and investing it in something else.
Right.
Well, so now all of a sudden, these growth companies are beginning to pay these dividends. It's not just Alphabet, Meta, so the parent for Facebook. They last quarter announced that they were going to start paying a dividend. And one of the big reasons is it's not that they don't have growth opportunities in front of them. It's just that they generate so much cash flow that it's probably better than them trying to reinvest it in marginally attractive
right.
projects or maybe wasting it on executive perks, things
right.
like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll remind you of that later. But of course, you know, what we do want to talk about, of course, is that that is something that's a good indicator. You know, companies have done things before, like buying back their
yes.
shares to increase that as well.
That's correct. And they actually are still doing these share buybacks. It's just that they have different tax implications. And so I think that it actually shows that these companies are growing up. They're trying to really appeal to a broader investor base. There are a lot of people who really like getting the dividends on a periodic basis. You get the income, and it can also have some tax advantages to
right.
it. In today's environment, if you have held that stock for a long enough period of time, it gets taxed at a preferential rate. So instead of having the dividends or interest income is taxed at, say, your income rate, let's say if you're in the top bracket, that's 37.
Let me just interrupt for a second, because there are different rates and there are a certain amount of people at certain income levels who pay 0% on that income, right? And
yep.
in dividend rate. And then as you move up, it moves up to 15 and 20. And then there's this 3.8% kicker on top of that.
That's right.
But it depends on where you get it. And that is substantially different than taking it as income
yep.
because it could be at a much higher rate, maybe 40%. And of course, we read this week that President Biden is talking about a 44% top marginal rate and income tax rate. So it could have substantial benefits.
It can, exactly. And that's one of the things that we always try to do is kind of think through the tax strategizing as far as what kind of income do you want to receive? Is it going to be from a municipal bond, the interest there where it's exempt from federal income taxes? Or is it a CD where it's taxed at the federal and the state level?
Right.
Or when you're looking at, let's say, with your equities, if you are getting the growth of the principal as far as the value, because the company is doing well, the value is going up, and if you can get some dividends from that, you know, that growth over the long term, it might be taxed at, say, 20%. or 23.8% because of the Medicare surcharge for people who are in the top bracket. Right. And then the dividends could also be taxed at that preferential rate. So the tax characteristic matters.
And Brian, and that's why I always say, you know what you own, because sometimes people have come in and said, I saw this other advisor who's trying to sling an annuity at me. And of course, if it's a 5% distribution rate out of an annuity and a 5% dividend out of a stock, you have to know the difference between how you're taxed and what the potentials are.
That's right. And those words that you used are very important. Is it a distribution? Is it a dividend? Is it interest? Is it income? Sometimes people just sort of, you know, gloss over what they're actually talking about there or what's actually meant. But those words really matter, because right. The distribution that you get, is it going to be considered ordinary income? In which case, it could be taxed at very high rates. Is it going to be considered capital gains? Is it going to be considered qualified dividend? Is it going to be considered, you know, tax-exempt interest?
So there's two other things that I do want to cover here, and just before the show is over here, and you can reinvest those dividends. So the dividends come out, and sometimes people have invested in what's called these DRIP programs.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, DRIP is a great acronym. I got introduced to these back when my first stock that I bought, it was with Wisconsin Energy. They had a dividend reinvestment plan, a DRIP plan, where the dividends are automatically reinvested. And believe it or not, over the long term, dividends being reinvested can actually make up about 40%, if not more, of your total return on equities over time.
Again, folks, know what you own, why you own it, and how much you're paying for it.
Sounds familiar. Thank you, Dave Spano, President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, we got an hour, but just a sample of what we do on behalf of our clients. It would be our honor, it would be our pleasure to serve you as a fee-only fiduciary. Head to the website this weekend, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Thanks for listening. See you next Sunday, noon. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
The Annex Wealth Management Show is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation.